Unit 6, Part 1, Language Skills Development. 1. Starter. A. Read the lyrics of a song. Listen to the tape or CD and sing along.
My Own True Love.
My own true love, my own true love, at last I found you, my own true love, no lips but yours, no arms but yours, will you've shown true love. I'm yours forever, my own true love. By your kiss, you've shown true love. I'm yours forever, my own true love. B.
Listen to a letter, simplified, written to a mother, and answer the following questions.
Dear Madam, I have just learned from a report by the War Department that you are the mother of 5 sons who have died heroically on the battlefield. I feel that whatever I say or do can hardly make you feel less painful for suffering such a great loss. But I cannot but attempt to give you my deepest sympathy and consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that God may relieve your anguish and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost, and the great pride that must be yours to have made so costly a sacrifice for the unity and freedom of our country. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln. 2. Text, A Horseman in the Sky, by Ambrose Bierce.
Carter Druce was born in Virginia. He loved his parents, his home, and the South. but he loved his country, too. One morning in the autumn of 1861, when the country was ravaged by a terrible civil war, the young Virginian said, quietly but gravely, "Father, a Union regiment has arrived. I am going to join it." The old man looked at his only son for a moment, too shocked to speak. Then he said, "As of this moment, you are a traitor to the South. Please don't tell your mother about your decision. She is sick, and we both know she has only a few weeks to live." Carter's father paused, again looking deep into his son's eyes. "Carter," he said, "no matter what happens, be sure you always do what you think is your duty." Both Carter Druce and his father left the table that morning with a broken heart, and Carter soon left his home and everyone he loved to wear the blue uniform of the Union soldier. One sunny afternoon, a few weeks later, Carter Druce lay at full length upon his stomach, his feet resting upon his toes, his head upon his left forearm. His extended right hand loosely grasped his rifle. He was sleeping while on duty. If detected, he would be dead shortly afterward, death being the just and legal penalty of his crime. Fortunately, no one could see him. He was hidden by some bushes, growing by the side of the road. The road Carter Druce had been sent to guard was only a few miles from his father's house. It began in a forest, down in the valley, and climbed up the side of a huge rock. Anyone standing on the top of this high rock would be able to see down into the valley, and that person would feel very dizzy looking down. Hidden in the valley's forest were 5 Union regiments, thousands of Carter's fellow soldiers. They had marched for 36 hours. Now they were resting, but at midnight they would climb that road up the rocky cliff. Their plan was to attack by surprise an army of Southerners camped on the other side of the cliff. But if their enemy learned about the Union army hiding in the forest, the soldiers would find themselves in a trap with no escape. That was why Carter Druce had been sent to the road to make sure that no enemy soldier spied on the valley where the Union army was hiding. But Carter Druce had fallen asleep. Suddenly, as if a messenger of fate came to touch him on the shoulder, the young man opened his eyes. As he lifted his head, he saw a man on horseback standing on the huge rocky cliff. His first feeling was a keen artistic delight. On the colossal pedestal of the cliff was a statue of impressive dignity. Carter could not see the man's face because the rider was looking down into the valley. The figure of the man sat on the figure of the horse, straight and soldierly, but with the repose of a Grecian god carved in the marble, which limits the suggestion of activity. Carter discovered he was very much afraid, even though he knew the enemy soldier could not see him hiding in the bushes. Suddenly the horse moved, pulling back its head from the edge of the cliff. Wide awake, Carter was alive to the significance of the situation now. He raised his gun and aimed for the horseman's heart. A small squeeze of the trigger, and Carter Druce would have done his duty. At that instant, the horseman turned his head and looked in Carter's direction. He seemed to look at Carter's face, into his eyes, and deep into his brave, generous heart. Carter's face became very white. His entire body began shaking. His mind began to race. In his fantasy, the horse and rider became black figures, rising and falling in slow circles against a fiery red sky. Carter did not pull the trigger. Instead, he let go of his gun. Brave and strong as he was, Carter almost fainted from the shock of what he had seen. Is it so terrible to kill an enemy who might kill you and your friends? Carter knew that this man must be shot from ambush without warning. Slowly, a hope began to form in Carter Druce's mind. Perhaps the Southern soldier had not seen the Northern troops. Perhaps he was only admiring the view. Perhaps he would now turn and ride carelessly away. Then Carter looked down into the valley and saw a line of men in blue uniforms, slowly leaving the forest and bringing their horses to a stream. And there they were, in plain sight. Carter Druce looked back to the man and horse standing there against the sky. Again he took aim, but this time he pointed his gun at the horse. Words rang in his head, the last words his father ever spoke to him. No matter what happens, be sure you always do what you think is your duty. Carter Druce was calm as he pulled the trigger of his gun. At that moment, a Union officer happened to look up from his hiding place near the edge of the forest. His eyes climbed to the top of the cliff that looked over the valley. And then the officer saw something that filled his heart with horror. A man on a horse was riding down into the valley through the air. The rider sat straight, a strong clutch upon the reins to hold his charger from too impetuous a plunge. From his bare head, his long hair streamed upward. His hands were concealed in the cloud of the horse's lifted mane. The horse looked as if it were galloping across the sky. Its body was proud and noble. As the frightened Union officer watched this horseman in the sky, he almost believed he was witnessing a messenger from heaven. At almost the same instant, he heard a crashing sound in the trees. The sound died without an echo, and all was silent. The officer got to his feet, still shaking. He went back to his camp, but he didn't tell anyone what he had seen. He knew no one would ever believe him. Soon after firing his gun, Carter Druce was joined by a Union sergeant. "Did you fire?" the sergeant whispered. "Yes." "At what?" "A horse. It was on that rock. It's not there now. It went over the cliff." Carter's face was white, but he showed no other sign of emotion. The sergeant did not understand. "See here, Druce," he said, after a moment's silence. "Why are you making this into a mystery? I order you to report. Was there anyone on the horse?" "Yes." "Who?" "My father."
New words.
Ravage.
Gravely.
Regiment.
Traitor.
Toe.
Forearm.
Rifle.
Dizzy.
Rocky.
Cliff.
Spy.
Fate.
Keen.
Colossal.
Pedestal.
Dignity.
Soldierly.
Grecian.
Carve.
Squeeze.
Fantasy.
Fiery.
Ambush.
Rain.
Impetuous.
Conceal.
Gallop.
Sergeant.
Mystery.
Proper nouns.
Ambrose Bierce.
Carter Druce.
Virginia.
The Union Army.
Part 2. Language in use. 1. Dialogue. Let's make a deal. One day, Robert went to meet Janet, the manager of a sales agency, in order to sell his company's new product. They had negotiations. Listen to the dialogue and fill in the blanks. Then read it aloud.
Even with volume sales, Our costs for the new model shaver won't go down much.
Just what are you proposing?
We could take a cut on the price, but 25% would slash our profit margin. We suggest a compromise, 10%.
That's a big change from 25. 10 is beyond my negotiating limit. Any other ideas?
I don't think I can change it right now. Why don't we talk again tomorrow?
Sure. I need to talk to my office anyway. I hope we can find some common ground on this.
Next day.
Robert, I've been instructed to reject the numbers you proposed, but we can try to come up with something else.
I hope so, Janet. My instructions are to negotiate hard on this deal, but I'm trying very hard to reach some middle ground.
I understand. We propose a structured deal. For the first 6 months, we get a discount of 20%, and the next 6 months, we get 15%.
Janet, I can't bring these numbers back to my office. They'll turn it down flat.
Then you'll have to think of something better, Robert.
How about 15% the first 6 months, and the second 6 months at 12%, with a guarantee of 3,000 units?
That's a lot to sell, with very low profit margins.
It's about the best we can do, Janet. We need to hammer something out today. If I go back empty-handed, I may be coming back to you soon to ask for a job.
Okay. 17% the first 6 months. 14% for the second?
Good. Let's iron out the remaining details. When do you want to take delivery?
We'd like you to execute the first order by the 31st.
Let me run through this again. The first shipment for 1,500 units to be delivered in 27 days by the 31st.
Right. We couldn't handle much larger shipments.
Fine, but I'd prefer the first shipment to be 1,000 units, the next 2,000. The 31st is quite soon. I can't guarantee 1,500.
I can agree to that. Well, if there's nothing else, I think we've settled everything.
Janet, this deal promises big returns for both sides. Let's hope it's the beginning of a long and prosperous relationship.
New words.
Shaver.
Propose.
Slash.
Margin.
Reject.
Empty-handed.
Execute.
2. Pair work. Making a deal on a product. Reference answer.
Mr. Jones, this time I'm going to place a large order, but we can't close the deal unless you give me a reasonable discount.
In that case, we'll certainly give you a discount. But what's the quantity?
80,000 sets. How about giving us a 20% discount?
I'm afraid I can't offer you such a big discount. We won't make any profit at that price. Our maximum is 10%.
As you see, Mr. Jones, you don't have to find new orders since you have received such a big order for this quarter. Think it over. We are old friends.
Considering the long-standing business relationship between us, we shall give you a special discount of 10%. As you know, we do business on the basis of equality and mutual benefit.
Yes, indeed. But a 10% discount is not enough for such a big order.
As you know, we do not grant any discounts on small orders. A 10% discount is the best offer, based on the large quantity. Besides, the price of this product tends to go up. There is heavy demand for it. So it really pays to purchase large quantities from us.
Yes, I know the present trend. Anyhow, let's meet each other halfway. How about 15%?
You are a real businessman. All right, I agree to give you a special 12% discount, provided you order 100,000 sets.
Okay, it's a deal.
3. Text. Planning and negotiation.
Pre-negotiation. Before you decide to negotiate, it is a good idea to prepare. What is it exactly that you want to negotiate? Set out your objectives, e.g., I want more time to pay off the loan. You have to take into account how it will benefit the other party by offering some sort of reward or incentive. What is involved? Money, sales, time, conditions, discounts, terms, etc. Know your extremes. How much extra can you afford to give to settle an agreement? Although you are not aiming to give out the maximum, it is worth knowing so that you will not go beyond your limit. Negotiation. It is important that you approach the other party directly to make an appointment to negotiate. Should it be in person, writing, or by phone, as this will allow you to set the agenda in advance. Don't give away anything that will give them a chance to prepare too thoroughly. It's not war, but it is business. So, it's time to negotiate, and you've prepared well. What else must you have? Two things: confidence and power. Your power will come from your ability to influence. For example, you may be the buyer, but not always in a strong position, or have something that the other party wants, or you may be able to give a reward or an incentive. For example, you may be selling kitchen knives, and as part of the package, you are giving a knife sharpener and a storage unit away free as an incentive. It is always important that you keep the negotiation in your control. This can mean within your price range, your delivery time, or your profit margin. If you fail to do so, you will end up on the wrong side of the agreement, and with nothing out of the deal other than maintaining trading relationships. When negotiating, aim as high as you feel necessary in order to gain the best deal for yourself. The other party may bring this down, but it is a good tactic, as it is always easier to play down than to gain. Make sure that you remain flexible throughout the negotiation, in case the opposition decides to change the direction of the agreement. Coming to an agreement. Once you have come to a final agreement, it is important that you have it down in writing, along with both party signatures, though this is not always possible or practical. Before it is signed or formally ordered, it is wise not to say anything about the terms agreed, because your next sentence might break the agreement. The best salespeople never oversell. Well, not until they have to.
New words.
Negotiation.
Maximum.
Thoroughly.
Sharpener.
Tactic.